Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Federica Scarpa from the 38th edition of the Lovers Film Festival, and today I'm in company of Joseph Amenta, a director of Soft. Hello, Joseph.
Hello.
So, first of all, Joseph, would you like to introduce your film to our listeners?
Sure. It's a story of three adolescent queer friends who become enraptured in the nightlife scene over summer break, before a missing persons pulls them back into the reality that they've chosen to abandon.
You're also the screenwriter of this story. Where does this story come from?
It comes from many different places. I don't remember much of my childhood. I think I put blinders on and tried to get through and grow as a person and discover who I was. But the downside of that was not really achieving a lot of youthful memories. And I wanted to revisit my youth through the lens of these characters. And it's also inspired by the idea of seeing the queer world as a child, with friends, with beauty, as opposed to resentment or distance.
Usually we see films where kids have to find their identities during the film. But in your case, it's, let's say, it's like what's next, no? Because they know who they are. They are completely sure about who they are, but your film is about the how much they don't know about the world that's around them. Is it true?
I think that's beautifully put. I like to say that these characters know exactly who they are, but not how the world works. I think some of my shorts in the past, and certainly this feature, can be considered post-genre, because we have a lot of queer cinema that's focusing on, as you said, coming out of the closet, transitioning as a queer youth. But the idea of life after that discovery, after coming to terms with that identity, what happens? And how does that affect the trajectory of your life? And also, how does that bring people to your life that we don't get to see in camaraderie in cinema very often? It's usually one queer character in a straight world, but this is queer characters in a queer world. And they're discovering who they are, but they're also understanding the obstacles of what that means for them.
Let's talk about the cast of your film, especially these three amazing kids. Where do you find them?
So the casting process took a very long time, and we reached out to schools, programs, shelters, queer spaces, gay straight alliance programs, drama programs, and we just got to know different queer youth to learn their voice for my writing process, to be inspired, to see how they were reacting to the film. And along the way, we found one or two, and we had a casting process across Canada, self-tapes from actors, non-actors, and ultimately I settled on three very young kids who had chemistry together, who were very inexperienced performers, but were able to disregard the camera and be present, and that was really important for the nature of my film.
And also, there's this fourth character that I really loved, Dawn. Tell me about this character.
So Dawn is also played by Miyoko Anderson, who's also a story editor on the film. And her life is very similar to the experiences in the film. She's been doing sex work and a leader in the community for a very long time. She's taken queer youth in. And I wanted to showcase the trials and tribulations of trans women who have, for generations throughout our history, helped guide queer youth. They've really been the mothers of our community, the trailblazers. And I wanted to show elements of joy with this character, not just sadness, but also joy. And she struggles sometimes to be intimate, to be open, to be loving towards the children, because her experiences in her past were probably not loving, not joyful. But it's a journey for her, just like it's a journey for the kids.
And it's also, I think, a film about family. Mm-hmm. Not the family that we have, but Chosen. The family that... Yes, exactly. Is it true?
Yeah, chosen family is very important for queer people. I think that we have familial ties that are really important in teaching us the ways of the world. But then we discover our chosen family. And there's a camaraderie in shared tradition, shared interest, shared experience. And that's really when you see people come alive. If you notice in the film, the kids, when they're alone, are quite quiet. They make themselves quite small. But when they're together, they're like a firecracker. They explode with energy. And I wanted to see that. I wanted to see at a young age a chosen family, because it's very rare to experience that. And I think that this is a love letter to a childhood that a lot of queer people don't get to experience.
Yesterday during the Q&A, you talk about how you wanted to put the camera and with the kids as a fourth invisible kid. So we see the word as they see, right? We have their point of view.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I really wanted to revisit my childhood, and the best way to do that for myself and for the audience is to put them into the position of being a fourth member of this group, to really, for an hour and a half, relinquish the adult responsibility and mindset and be present with these children. You know, small moments of joy they get to experience almost as a child themselves, because we're seeing them so closely, as if they're speaking to us, as if they're looking at us. And it also helps us respect their journey, as opposed to looking at them as child. We get to see them as protagonists, as heroes, as people who are trying to discover who they are and how to make the next move forward. We're not scared for them in the same way that you would be scared for a lonely child on the street staring at them down as an adult. I was really, really intentional about keeping the characters in a direct eye line, or giving them power by creating a low angle so that we felt their power.
Was it hard? Because you're not a child now. Let's say you're not an 11 years old.
Yes.
Was it hard sometimes to maintain this point of view?
Yeah, you know what? My cinematographer had a challenging time at first, understanding the limitations of what we were trying to do. I think in another world, this film could be shot and be beautiful in a very different way, in more traditional filming style. But I think what you lose there is the energy. And I think when you are creating a first feature, you need to have a strong point of view. And I think that the gritty nature and the imperfection of the image allows for the perspective of the camera to stay consistent. And ultimately, it's about an emotional response, not just a pretty image.
This is, as you said, your first feature film. What was the main challenge you faced?
How long do we have? I think the main challenge was endurance, understanding that unlike a short film where you give everything for maybe a week, maybe a few days, you are doing this for a month, and before that you're doing it for a few months consistently. So just being able to trust my instincts, my gut, and understand perspective from the beginning to the end was the biggest challenge, because you begin to become delirious near the end and you cannot question your vision. You have to commit to it completely. Otherwise, you'll lose your way.
Why soft?
Initially, the film was titled Pussy. The American market was very strict towards that title for obvious reasons. But if you watch the film, the word has a lot of meaning, a lot of duality. The kids use that language as a form of learned language. They don't know it's meant to be harmful to people like them. But in the moments where we see the kids exhibit the most freedom, the word is being chanted in the soundtrack. And that comes from ballroom culture, where feminine expression in unlikely bodies is really seen as opulent, ferocious, powerful. In Toronto, there is a slang word for pussy, which is soft. It's a word that is synonymous with that idea of being feminine or perhaps weak, recessive. And I wanted to allow for the characters to feel strong and reclaim that word.
You talked yesterday during the Q&A about the last scene of the film, the dancing scene, and you say some beautiful words about that, especially that the queer community face things celebrating. And I found it, I wrote it because we celebrate, you said, and I found it so powerful. Can you say something about that, about this scene?
Absolutely. I think that there is resolution that the audience will crave. But ultimately, just like a headline of a missing person or a missing trans woman, we don't get resolution. So to give it is false. But what we can do, and what we always do, is celebrate and dance and be resilient in moving forward. I think queer people are trailblazers in art and culture. And some people will look at the queer lifestyle as frivolous, debaucherous perhaps. But what we do is live in a fantasy, because that fantasy can be in our creation in which we have control. And to come together and dance around a fire, metaphorical fire together, in a common space, when we're usually very spread out, very disparate, very distanced from one another. It's a ritual that we have in our tradition. And the kids are experiencing that ritual, maybe in their head, maybe in reality. They're dancing around a fire, but they're also dancing in the club together, united and powerful.
What do you wish the audience would feel at the end of the film? What would you like they bring at home with them?
I think ultimately what I'm the most interested in the audience experiencing is really relinquishing any ideas of control for a narrative film. And I want them to feel like they've revisited their own childhood, that they've been able to touch the magic of youth again, the beautiful naivety of what it means to be dumb and a child who doesn't know how hard life can be, but is brave enough to tackle it. And perhaps that will leak into their own lives. I want them to understand that these kids exist everywhere in the world, whether we see them or acknowledge them or not, and that ultimately they will survive if we give them the chance. But if we see them, we need to acknowledge them.
Thank you very much, Joseph.
Thank you.
And this is Federica Scarpa for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.